Well, we're back, session 22. I'm developing a sermon. We're in that section of this class, developing a sermon. We talked about preparing to preach and all the things you should be thinking about preparing to preach as far as looking at the message, not only, but getting prayer for yourself, deciding what kind of message you're going to bring, those sorts of things. And then, now we've been in developing a sermon. We looked at introductions and a variety of ways to introduce your message to hook people in. In that first few minutes, couple of minutes, 2 minutes about is what some people say. You've got to hook them to hold their interest. Well, today we're continuing the idea of organization, or how do you structure the message in a way that the audience will walk with you, that there is some kind of development that they can follow and catch on to and be part of, so it's not just a sense, from their point of view, of wandering. Now, the man who taught me to preach, one of the things he told me after I preached and he said to me, you know, it was everything you said was right doctrinally, biblically, but nobody was listening. He said, one of the things you've got to do is write the sermon with the audience in mind, the hearer in mind. And so what's going to help the hearer stick with you in a message that you're bringing? So in this section that we've been calling organization and structure, last time we looked at Dr. Frank Thomas, and he suggested this structure, you know, that there's a situation, there's a complication of the situation, there's a resolution of the complication, and then there's a celebration of the resolution. Now, this is sometimes called the novel organization, in that it's very similar to what you would do with a novel, right? We talked about that last time. But this works well with a narrative kind of portions, where you're telling a story of the Bible, but you're retelling it with some added information. For instance, you could use this with David and his failure with Bathsheba, but you could talk about the situation of David being the youngest forgotten son, about God coming and choosing him to be king because he found him to be a person after his own heart. And then the complication of the situation. After he becomes famous and successful, David sees Bathsheba and he lusts after her, and then he takes her and then commits murder of her husband, and etc. And then, you know, the resolution of the situation, the prophet coming and saying, you know, it's you. And then, okay, celebration of the resolution, and that is God's forgiveness and grace and restoration, as well as David's confession, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me. So that's one type of structure, and we talked about that last time a little bit. We talked about the textual structure, where main points come from the text and subpoints from outside the text, and gave some illustrations of that. The expository structure, which is the main points are from the text and the subpoints are from the text as well. Now I want to move on to some new ones, ways you can structure. These are not quite as popular as the ones we've looked at, but they are ones that are very useful and very impactful. One is the ladder structure. That's the way some people talk about it, and that is that you're climbing up to a point, right? You're giving one piece of information which leads to another, which leads to another, which leads to another. For instance, let's say that you're doing a message on Jonah. Now, most people do about 4 messages on the book of Jonah, but let's say that you want to do one from this latter kind of structure. And so here could be an outline for you. Your main point would be something like, God cares about condemned people. You know, I want all to be saved and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God says that a couple of different places in Scripture. He doesn't want any to perish. So God's concern for Nineveh could be your first point. Then Jonah's commission. That call to Jonah and saying, go, I want you to tell them the message, the prophecy about their condemnation if they don't turn and confess. And then God's confrontation with Jonah, how Jonah tries to run away, and Jonah is thrown into the water and this huge fish swallows him. And so there's this confrontation, the confession of Jonah, a wonderful statement in Jonah as he reflects on the fact that God is the one who can rescue him, his cry from the fish, Jonah's communication to the people, the message that he gets, and then his confrontation with God as he's disappointed that God doesn't bring the judgment that he did because the people broke out in repentance. That would be kind of a ladder, or it leads from one point to another, to another, to another, to another. So that's an illustration, but this is a wonderful way of organizing your messages. To say, okay, here's one thing, here's another, here's another, here's another. Some people refer to it as kind of a detective kind of way of doing it too. You can organize in that similar way of saying, well, here's one clue, here's another clue, here's another clue, here's another clue. For instance, you could be preaching a topical message, let's say, on God's omniscience. He knows everything. So here's one clue from Scripture. Here's another clue. Here's another. So those are part of the ladder. You're climbing up. You're making the points. It's a ladder or a map that you're going somewhere. And this is how we get here, is one step after another after another. So those are one way of doing it. Now, another way is, this is Andy Stanley. Excellent communicator. Pastor, and yet he's author, he's speaker, he's a tremendously gifted man. And he wrote a book on preaching, finally, because people said, we're impressed with your ability to communicate for change. In fact, that's what he titled his book, Communicating for a Change. Toward the end of that book, he talks about how he structures a message. And he says he structures his messages, every single one, the same way. And it's going to be what I'm calling today a conversational structure. In other words, it's a structure where you're having a conversation with your audience. And he uses this structure. Me, this is where this message got started. It started in my heart, asking a question of God or asking a question of myself. And then we, bringing them into it. I bet you have the same kind of situation in your life. God, what does God say about this? And then back to you, what are you going to do with this information? Then a conclusion, which is often a challenge. And then we, how are we going to interact differently because of this message? Now his point is, this is a structure, he says, which leads to change in people's behavior. And it's an excellent structure to work with. I'll give you an illustration of it. He preached on marriage one time. And the passage he chose to preach on was the Ephesians classic passage on marriage from Ephesians chapter 5. Now, verse 21 sets the stage for all the directives that are given to husbands and to wives. For instance, the wife is said, told to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And then the husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But the whole part is governed by verse 21, which says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he decided, and we talked about doing the big picture, boiling things down to one sentence, one big idea. His big idea in that message was, submission is the best decision. When you are facing a situation with your wife or your husband, choosing to submit to them is the best decision that's going to bring the best outcome. Now, how did he get there in his outline? He started with me. He said, sometimes I wonder how to respond to situations in my marriage where I'm at a disagreement with my wife, or we have had a fight about something, or we disagree about what's the best thing for us to do with our money, or what is the best thing for us to do with our children. And so I'm wondering about that. So that's me. Well, you probably wonder that too at times. I'm sure that if you're married, you have faced that situation, or if you're in a relationship with somebody, you face that situation too. How do I react in this given situation? And so now the people are brought in, and they sense this conversation. He shared a little bit about how he came to this subject. Now, here's how I think it fits you. You do this too. And then he says, okay, God. Let's bring God into the conversation. When you bring God into the conversation, you find that the Bible teaches we are to submit to one another. In other words, put the desires and needs of our spouse ahead of our own desires and needs. And so that's what it means to submit. And he talks about ranking under each other. In other words, the language that's used there is the language of the military, where the private is under the sergeant, who's under the lieutenant, who's under the captain, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That there's a ranking under, that I'm going to choose to rank myself under my spouse. Okay, so that's God's thing. Now back to you. The next time you come to one of those things, ask, how can I submit to my spouse in this? What would that look like? How can I do this effectively? So it's back to them and, all right, how do you make that decision? And then the conclusion is, submission is the best decision. That's the theme, once again, right? That's the key sentence that he's going to put with people and try to put in their hearts and their minds. So submission is the best decision. And then back to we. Imagine what would happen if you do this. Imagine the change in the fights that you have, the conflicts that you have with your spouse, if you would choose to submit. In fact, there are some things that he could have done there, which he didn't, but, you know, talking about how fights usually with arrows toward each other. But what about if somebody decides to stop shooting at the other person and instead shoots around to the problem and their own culpability in creating the problem. And so imagine what would happen if this changed. Imagine how your spouse would react if you gave in readily. Imagine how your spouse would react, how your family would be enriched. And so it's creating this picture of the future that is preferable to what they're experiencing now. Submission is the best decision. Imagine what would happen. Now, this is a wonderful way to organize your message, especially if you are looking for messages that are not just going to inform, but to change directions for people's lives. It's driven toward that. The idea is that this one always ends with kind of an appeal to make that change. Make these changes in your life to become somebody who submits. Or make this change in your life to somebody who seeks the good of others before themselves. Or to change in your life when you find out that your role in life is to be a steward of all that you have, but God actually owns it. So you can create this. Think about this as a structure sometime, and you'll find that some messages are enriched. But especially those that are gearing toward an appeal at the end for a change in behavior. Okay, so got that one? Next one is one of my favorites, and it's called the GEM organization structure, or sometimes the flower. Either one of them fits. If you picture a gem, picture yourself holding a diamond or a ruby, and you turn it and you look at it from various facets. You see how the light reflects from various angles, and you're always coming back to that idea that there are various facets to this gem. Or in the flower analogy, is you look at one petal and you come back, but you're always coming back to the center. So you look at one petal, and then you look at another, and you look at another, and you look at another. This kind of organization, in my experience in the United States, has been part of the African American or the black expression of preaching. That some black preachers do this incredibly well, and when you are done, you say, wow, I got the main point, right? There's a main point, and yet it's looked at from all these different perspectives. It's not linear. It's not like, okay, we're taking this piece and growing to this piece, to this piece, to this piece, like a ladder or a map. It's not even an outline of a text to say, okay, here's the main point of the text, and here's the main points, here are the subpoints. It's not that. It's simply looking at a subject from different perspectives. Now, there are so many people that could have given you a taste of what this is like. One of my favorite messages in the world is by S.M. Lockridge, and he does a thing of That's My King. And that one was a bit too long to tag on to this. And so another one that is well known and has been a very popular kind of message. In fact, you can quote it in a lot of Christian circles here in the United States, and people know exactly what you mean. They've heard it. I want you to hear it, too. It's by Tony Campolo. Now, Tony Campolo is now in his 80s. He's been a leader in the Christian church in the United States for a long time. And he has somebody who lives in a black church. I mean, that's how he learns to worship. It's in West Philadelphia. He says, yeah, it was all white when we moved into that area and we joined that church, and it gradually changed as the community changed, and we stayed. And he's got a position of influence. He was a professor at Eastern College, Eastern Seminary, which is a Baptist background kind of organization. He's a well-known speaker around the world. In fact, listening to him again in preparation for this lesson, he's an impressive speaker. Well, in one of his messages, he shares a story about his pastor. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find his pastor doing this, but I can find all over the internet Tony Campolo doing it, so sharing this story. And the story is, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. And I'm going to let him share it with you, the best version I could find for you. Doesn't have Tony Campolo saying it, but it's given background with pictures. And so it's about 9 minutes long. If you watch this and then come back, we'll just talk it down for just a minute, okay? So here's Tony Campolo. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming.
I belong to a black church in West Philadelphia. I grew up in West Philadelphia. The community's all black now. We still go to the same church. It's a neat church. I mean, you've been a great congregation, great audience, whatever you want to call it. But as good as you've been, you're not as good as the people in my church. I mean, you got to preach to a black congregation to know what good is, you see. I mean, in a black church, good or bad, they let you know. One time I was preaching in my church and nothing was happening. Ever you feel a preacher just dying on his feet? I was about three quarters of the way through the sermon and some lady in the back yelled, "Help him, Jesus! Help him, Jesus!" And I knew it wasn't going well. You know what I mean? I just knew it wasn't going well. Likewise. When you're really on in my church, they let you know, because the deacons sit right up front, and whenever you say something good, they go crazy. They yell, "Preach, brother! Preach, man! Preach, preach!" Man, when they say preach, I go. And the women in my church, they do this. Whenever you say something good, they put one hand in the air, and they go, well. When you get a well, your hormones bubble. And the men out there in the congregation, they do something special. You say something super, the men yell, "Keep going, brother! Keep going! Keep going!" You don't get that from a white audience. White audience is always yelling, "Stop! Stop!" You know what I mean? It was my turn to preach. And I got up and I want to tell you people, I was good. And they started coming on, and the more they came on, the better I got. And the better I got, the more they came on. I got better and better. I got so good, I wanted to take notes on me. I came to the end of that message, that place went bananas. I mean, it went crazy. I sat down, my pastor squeezed my knee, he said, "You did all right, boy." I hate it when he calls me boy. And I turned to him and I said, "Pastor?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You going to be able to top that?" He said, "Son, you sit back, because the old man is going to do you in." I didn't figure anybody could do me in that day, but the old guy got up and he did me in with one line. For an hour and a half, he preached one line over and over again. Here's the line. "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." Now, that doesn't rot your socks out, but you should have heard him do it. Started nice and soft. You know, we're all there. And started with, "It was Friday. It was Friday, and my Jesus is dead on the tree. But that's Friday. Sunday's a-coming." Somebody yelled, "Preach, brother, preach!" And he started, "Friday. Friday, Mary's crying her eyes out. The disciples are running in every direction like sheep without a shepherd. But that's Friday. Friday. Sunday's a-coming." Man, they're beginning to pick up now. We were going, "Well, keep going. Friday. Friday, those are looking at the world and saying, as things have been, so they shall be. You can't change nothing in this world. You can't change nothing in this world." But they didn't know. It was only Friday. Sunday's a-coming. You're getting on to it. Try one more time here. Friday. Friday, them forces that oppress the poor and keep people down. Them forces that destroy people. Them forces that's in control. And they're going to rule. But they don't know. It's only Friday. We'll de-hunkatize you yet. We really will. Friday! Sunday's a-coming! You're on to it. We'll do it one more time, okay? Just one more time. Friday! Friday, people are saying, darkness is going to rule the world. Sadness is going to be everywhere, but they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's a come in. You do feel better, don't you? He kept on doing that for an hour and a quarter, an hour and a half, one line, over and over again. Friday, Sunday's coming. Friday, Sunday's coming. Friday, Sunday's coming. He came to the end of the message. I was exhausted. He just yelled at the top of his lungs, Friday! And all 1,500 of us yelled, Sunday's a-coming! People, that's the good news. When we take the gospel seriously, this is what will happen. Our psychological needs will begin to be met. Our capacity to love will be developed. Our appreciation of the miraculous will cause us to expect great things from God. And the Spirit of God that possesses us will motivate us to give ourselves to those who are suffering in a way that we have failed to do up to this day. And when all of that happens, this is the good news. This is the very good news. That even though this world is rotten as it is right now, we know it's only Friday!
Now, wasn't that effective? I mean, it was simple in some ways, and yet it's incredibly challenging if you aren't equipped with that, if you haven't learned that at somewhere, it's hard to do this. Every once in a while, just to challenge myself, I'd say, you know, I want to try this flower kind of organization to my message. And so picking that phrase that's going to come back to people is something that it sticks in people's hearts and minds. And it doesn't have to be complex. In fact, as I was doing this, I was thinking of the worst message I ever preached. Worst message I ever preached was on a Sunday evening service, and the person who was supposed to be a guest in our church that night canceled at 4 o'clock. So I said, oh, it's okay, I'll haul something out of the file. It was Advent season, and I had nothing in the file as I looked that was worthwhile, except, you know, I had something about Emmanuel, God with us. And so, you know, 6 o'clock service, I got up there and preached Emmanuel, God with us. I basically said nothing else for about 20 minutes. And I felt so destroyed by that message that I walked out of the church, got in my car, got home, and felt like I'm never going to preach again. But during that week, there's a group of women in our church that played a card game together every Thursday night. And on Thursday night, there was a group, 4 women in a car who were traveling to the card game, and they got in an accident. And nobody was seriously hurt, thankfully, but they had to stay in the car because the car was damaged to the extent that none of the doors could be opened. And so they had to stay in the car until they got what was called the jaws of life to come and tear the car apart so that they could get the women out. And one woman called me to say, you know, this had happened. But she said, you know, the only thing that helped me maintain my sanity while we were waiting for the jaws of life was that phrase, God with us, Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. And I said, okay, God, I get it. You know, it's not what I do or plan, but what you do. But it was simply this organization that planted that firmly in her heart and mind. So sometime or another, practice this. See how the petals come together to form around the center, which is a repeated phrase. And those types of organizations, all of these types of organizations can be used by God in your life, in your ministry, to make an impact in your preaching. Next time, we're going to start looking at how you conclude a message effectively. So we'll see you in the next class.